You at home, I'm not the regular preacher. The elders have afforded me this opportunity to preach to you. Tonight is going to be on backsliding. As an introduction, what is meant by backsliding? The word today is used in precisely the same way as it was back then. To slide back, to lapse morally, to forsake Christ, our Redeemer, our only hope of glory. In the book of Jeremiah, the faithful prophet reveals the perpetual backsliding of God's people in his day. The condition that's existed then is still with us today and constitutes one of our greatest problems in the church. In Jeremiah 2:19, your own wickedness will correct you, and your backslidings will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. This was a terrible and costly sin of Israel. Backsliding is not a new problem, though. In Jeremiah 8:5, it says, why has this people slidden back? Jerusalem, in a perpetual backsliding, they hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. That is also a great problem in the church today. The church here would have been have more members if the backsliders would return. There are warnings against backsliding. In Hebrews 3:12, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. In 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12 and 13, therefore let him who thinks he stands, lest he fall. There is no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. This reminds me, if you're not bearing fruit for God, you cannot be a part of God, as in John 15:1 through 6 has. If we are in Christ, we will bear fruit. If not, we are not His, and we will be gathered and burned in the fire. General apostasy before the return of Christ is foretold in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. There's examples of backsliding. The Galatians in Galatians 5:4. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. Also in Acts 8, verses 18 to 22, Simon the sorcerer. And when Simon saw, through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands, I may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God that if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. The Ephesians also in Revelation was warned. Revelation 2, 4, and 5 says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whom you, where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Some causes of backsliding is the absence of spiritual leaders. In Exodus 32:1, it says, now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Also, evil associations as Solomon and his adulterous wives in 1 Kings 11:4. It says, "For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David." Also, we have worldly success in Luke 8:13. "But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear and receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away." If you've got nothing to do, the elders should try to keep all members busy in the work of the Lord. That is why we have Bible classes and Bible studies. The love of this world will cause us to backslide. In 2 Timothy 4:10, it says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed from the Thessalonica, Christians for Galatia and Titus for Dalmatia." In addition to causes, what are some of the results of backsliding? One is religious indifference. In Matthew 24:12, it says, "Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." When you first become a Christian, you're on fire for Christ. Then some may grow cold because of the worldly cares and other distractions in this world. In Amos 6:1, it says, "Woe to you who are at ease in Zion and trust in Mount Samaria, notable persons in the chief nation to whom the house of Israel comes. They are too comfortable in their habits of worship, and it becomes a deep rut." Some people are also unfit for the kingdom by not putting God first. In Luke 9:62, "But Jesus said to him, 'No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" They're not helping the cause of Christ because they want something else first. Also, there's a loss of spiritual enthusiasm, as in Revelation, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, you've left your first love." Divine displeasure. God has, in Hebrews 10:38, it says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul will have no pleasure in him." No longer living by faith, nor are they living by the word of God. The thing is, no one gains by backsliding. Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." There's also a possibility of backsliding today. Some teach the impossibility of backsliding, that they cannot sin as to be eternally lost. The prison houses are full of such teaching to our children. Eternity alone will reveal the awful fruits of this doctrine. The Bible clearly reveals the possibility of backsliding. The scriptural proof is 1 Corinthians 11:29. "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Also, Galatians 5:4, "You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace." So unless they are turned from the error of their way, they will perish eternally. In James 5:19-20, it says, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." you will cover a multitude of their sins if they repent. But if they don't repent, it's like a horse being drawn to the water and he refuses to drink. Their condition in heaven's sight, they've forsaken God, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Over in Jeremiah 10:23, it says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Also in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. 2 Peter 2:2, it says that those type of people are in a worse condition than if they had never heard the gospel. The responsibility of the church is to engage backsliding preventatives to safeguard the flock. We recognize this as a major weakness and apply scriptural methods to rectify those conditions. All are the responsibility of the elders and the fellow Christians' members. So we're all have that responsibility of bringing somebody back. In Hebrews 13:17, it says, obey those who have the rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. As those who must give an account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. And again in Galatians 6:1, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. When it is discovered that one has wandered from the fold, it should be considered as an emergency, as souls will hang in the balance. Immediate action is necessary. Luke 15:3-10. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them and does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. God's attitude towards such, God has not departed from the backslider. Rather, the backslider has departed from God. In Isaiah 59:1-2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. We need not plead with God to be reconciled to the erring, but rather that the erring be reconciled back to God. In 2 Peter 3:9, again, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Also, Jeremiah 3:11-12, then the Lord said to me, backsliding Israel has shown herself more righteous than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, backsliding Israel, says the Lord. I will not cause my anger to fall on you, for I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not remain angry forever. We also have the story of the prodigal. It illustrates God's attitude toward all erring children. In Luke 15, it says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered together all that he had and journeyed to a far country, and there was wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want." In verse 17 it says, "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" And in verse 24 it says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. The prodigal's realization that he was in error was a correct one. The father anxiously awaits his return and is overjoyed when he sees him coming. There are backsliding preventives. Every day, let God say something to us. Light is the word. In Psalm 119, 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And we need to delight in God's word, as in Psalm 1, 1 through 6. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We need to study God's word, as in 1 Timothy 4:13, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." And then 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth," or correctly understanding the word of truth. 2 Peter 1:10 says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." As it says in Psalm 119:11, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Every day, say something to God. We need to pray to God. But because of iniquity, in Psalm 66:18, it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." And Proverbs 28:9 says, "The one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even here his prayer is an abomination." Prayer will stop sin, or sin will stop prayer. James 5:16 says, "Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Every day, say something for God. Our speech and our manner of life. In Philippians 1:27, Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Also, Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And every day, do something for God. In other words, look for opportunities. In Galatians 6:10, therefore, if we have the opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And again, I go to James 5:19-20. A brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover multitudes of sins. So we need to convert that sinner back to faithful service to God. And again, we don't want to shirk the work as some have done. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, it encourages us, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In other words, Christians should be moving forward, always doing what would be pleasing to God. In conclusion, only the devil could be happy over backsliding. And he can offer the backslider nothing but torment. The way to keep from backsliding is to return to service to God, lest you lose your souls. The invitation here, if you're not a member of the Lord's body, this is what you must do. Hearing the word will build your faith. And then you will believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You will repent of your sins and turn 180 degrees away from them. You will confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You will be baptized for the remission of your sins. Come up out of the watery grave of baptism, spotless and clean as you were when you were born. And then you will be obedient unto death. If you are a member that needs to get his or her life right with God, in either case, if you'd please come forward as we sing the invitation song.